Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning. And if I'm a little bit out of breath right now, it's because...
it got busy.
This was just as we get 5 minutes before we get on, come on the air. Three or four people came up here to work horses. And Lord have mercy.
A lot of nerve.
What the hell do you think this is? A training trip or something?
It's terrible, isn't it?
My goodness, let me gather my thoughts here together if I can.
We had a bunch of winners from here.
Yeah.
Since last week. Tremendous number.
Well, I think it was, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 since the last week's show. And who were the trainers? Let me look up their names here real quick. John Langemeyer won down at Churchill. Tanya Lobseger. Matt Frazier won another quarter horse race. That was up at Indiana Downs. Jimmy Cargan had a winner at Mountaineer. Eduardo Caramori at Indiana. Adolfo Macias. Eduardo won another one. Robin Rosen.
What's that?
What is that?
Oh, never mind.
Oh, okay. That's Ashley's phone.
Some rock and roller's calling her.
Well, hey, Ashley, what have you got on that phone anyway? You just woke up half the horses here in the training center.
I'm sorry.
that's Ashley Blankenship.
I
want to welcome Ashley back anyway. She's been away for how long you been gone, Ashley? Six weeks. Yeah, she had a little back surgery. Now she's back. And it's good to see her back. But leave your phone behind, Ashley.
That was great.
All right. Let me get back to Eduardo Caramore at the Thoroughbreds at Indiana Downs. Robin Risenbeck, who's one of our outriders out here, won one down at Mountaineer. Oh, I got to tell you a story about that in just a second. Jimmy Cargan won one, another one. Raquel Albright and John Booker won one last night at the Mountain. Robin and Rusty Rice out here, Howard Rice, are always after teasing each other and everything, and they were in the same race down there, and Rusty says, if that filly of yours beat mine, says, I'm going to give up my trainer's license. Well, it beat him by 17 and their lengths or something like that, you know. So Robbins put out the little note, says, Rusty's having a tax sale tomorrow.
Cute.
Well, he had it coming from Alvin off, didn't he?
Yeah.
What are we going to do today? We've got John Gaver coming, John Gaver the third. And John just came back up here from Florida, and she's stable over here in one of the new barns that Keelan built out here, Barn G's in George. And if the name should, if the name doesn't ring a bell, do you? Well, you haven't been around very long. His father and his grandfather both trained for Green Tree. I don't believe they ever trained for anybody else but Green Tree.
Ah.
And near as I can tell, I'll ask John. But, you know, his grandfather was a Hall of Fame trainer, and he's just a really nice kid. And his father trained late bloomer, took over for his dad, and that was when Jock Whitney had the place, and Miss Payson. Anyway, he's going to come on to the top of the hour. Here comes Doug Byers walking in the door. Let's see. Oh, his grandfather incidentally trained Shutout. Jackie, one of us is going to have to get up here and clock here in just a very few seconds.
I will.
Okay. Let's see. Michael Blowen is, I guess, is Michael coming?
No. Michael's at Frankfurt to the governor's breakfast with Dan, the bluegrass man, but he said you could call him.
I could call him.
I'd like to call him a number of things.
Yes. But you can't put that on the air, can you?
You're not supposed to.
No. Anyway, Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicap of Sheep. We're going to get in touch with Steve, and he's going to give us the Derby winner. I've got some stuff I want to read from Joe Palmer, and we're going to do Jackie's announcements, of course. And You want to do something, Jackie, while I go clock that damn horse?
She's got it.
Oh, well, okay. She's going to do it, huh? All righty. All right. So, anyway, that's what we're going to do today, hopefully.
You just cussed on the air.
Well, anybody that trains this late ought to be ruled off. What do you think about that, Doug?
Anything you say.
Okay.
Well, nice answer.
Yeah, that's Louis Seguin. He is from Archer, and here comes Jack Jones wandering up the steps. Jack, talk to that girl out there. Talk to Ashley out there. She's a lot cuter than me anyway.
Yeah, I stand out there ready to clock something. They walk right past me. Go to Ashley. I just can't imagine.
Just a little age gap there, dear.
60 years.
60 years, yeah. Well, you want to... Well, Doug, you in a hurry to get out of here?
No, not necessarily. I got to go look at a yearling.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get you going. I'll go ahead and do a commercial break, and then we'll get you rolling here. How about that? You made me do this early. Oh, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of those horses that the Gavers, Mr. John Gaver trained. And one of them was Shutout, incidentally, who won 1942 Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that was a great year. I sold that year.
Yeah.
I could say something, but I
won't. Never mind.
Oh, this is our anniversary, Jackie. And I just want to congratulate you.
That was fun. He said with a smirk.
Everybody's sending her sympathy cards.
I know.
Anniversary cards.
Well, I ought to send her one, putting up with me for this long. I don't know how she's done it. But.
Oh, I know what else. Not to change this ridiculous subject, but I checked the radar when I left home. There's a great huge glob of thunderstorms out to our west, but they're moving to the southeast. Tennessee's going to get it. And it looks like the rest of them are going north in Indiana. So hopefully it's not going to be too bad on the race.
Well, good.
So, yeah, that's just your latest forecast. I'm a radar freak.
Junkie.
I mean, I love it.
All she watches is the Weather Channel and Andy of Mayberry.
That's my other favorite, yes.
Well, Blaine won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, the Grade 1 Whitney, the Grade 1 Stephen Foster, the Grade 2 Clark Handicap, the Grade 2 Fayette Stakes, the Grade 3 William Donald Schaefer Stakes, and the Curlin Stakes. He won 7 of his 9 starts in stakes and was second in the other two. During his career, he posted 9 consecutive 100-plus buyer speed figures, and he retired with earnings of over $4,368,000. Blaine earned an Eclipse Award as champion older horse, and he was ranked number 1 in the USA by the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. Blaine is one of 4 champions sired by Arch, the sire of Arch, 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 winner of the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, scheduled to go to the post today in the Kentucky Derby to the number 1 hole. Arch is son of Chris S., thus a grandson of the great Roberto, is a great source of classic stamina. Both Eclipse Award winner Blame and his sire stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Bob and John won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, and the list of Wood Memorial winners that went on to achieve success at stud is long and impressive. Empire Maker, Unbridled Song, Gulch, Broadbrush, Seattle Slough, to mention just a few. Bob and John also won the Grade 3 Sham Stakes out on the West Coast. He won the Grade 3 Lone Star Park Handicap, and he was first, second, or third in 5 other stakes, including the Grade 1 Hollywood Futurity as a 2-year-old. In fact, he was a graded stakes performer at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced for earnings of over $996,000. Bob and John is one of 17 Grade 1 stakes winners by Seeking the Gold, one of the most successful sons of Mr. Prospector. He's out of a graded stakes-winning daughter of champion sire deputy minister from the great female family of Broodmare of the Year, Two Ball. And she was also, I believe she was a champion sprinter, but I'm not sure, but she was a great race mare. Bob and John stands for $8,000 live foal at Pin Oak Stud. That's the home also of Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I've got Dr. Doug Byers here with me today, and Doug, I've got to ask you.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, I want you to know that I went down and gave a little talk to the Rotary Club down in Paris Wednesday, and they asked me who I liked in the Kentucky Derby, and I handicapped that whole field for them, and I came up with Uncle Mo, so I'm safe.
Well, it's unfortunate what's happened, but you still were behind a winner. I mean, there's no question this is a great horse.
The best horse of the bunch.
By far. Well, you know, in everybody's estimation, and nobody more than myself can express how much disappointment it is for Mr. Rapoli and Todd Pletcher both, because the struggle to get him there, and I shouldn't use the word struggle, that sounds agonizing, but mentally agonizing
mentally
for
agonizing,
all of us. But to get him there, that struggle crossed a lot of people. We touched a lot of people with it, and good veterinarians, the best we could find, and people that we knew would have a positive input. And with a horse like that, and you're looking at people talking about a triple crown horse and that sort of verbiage. But anyway, just couldn't put the horse at risk, and that was the final decision, which was made the day before the Oaks. So we, you know, that evening, and I could tell in Mr. Rapoli's voice just the disappointment was agonizing.
Yeah.
And Mr. Pletcher is just an absolute professional, and he also had the disappointment. I think they knew it was coming, but in any event.
It's happened to him 2 years in a row now, Escondrea or last year.
Right, right. Yeah. And there was a comparison to be made with Escondrea. There was a leg injury that you could see, so that was black and white.
Yeah.
So with this one, we had to play shades of gray all the way up and make the right decision. And, again, nobody wants to put this horse at risk. And everybody appreciates that he had come a long way as far as getting right, but just not far enough. Time and his schedule were tough factors to deal with.
Can you say what it was, Doc? Or was
specifically, you know, I think the press, we discussed what would be out there. So, Ursel, you're getting an exclusive here.
Right.
There was not an identified gastrointestinal infection. It was an identified gastrointestinal irritation. And where we were on this historically, and of course we identified these as ADRs, ain't doing right. That's it.
Well, good for them for not going. This
was what you call agonizing class between Mr. Rapoli and Mr. Pletcher, and it sets the tone that the horse comes first.
Absolutely.
And so that was their disappointment, but no greed.
Mm-hmm.
That's doing right by the horse is what was going on.
Was he making progress, Doc?
Oh, yes, yeah. He put us on a roller coaster. His problems probably were after the Breeders' Cup, and there's some question whether things weren't quite what they should be. But what the most common factor was his appetite became consistently inconsistent.
Oh.
If that's...
That's so disheartening.
Yeah, he would take a run at eating good and then, you know, and then back away on things. Mr. Pletcher recognized and told Mr. Rapoli he just wasn't real pleased with the horse as far as his weight and condition and how he came out of things that, and came into training. Now, he trained great. He did, you know, Johnny Velasquez just said, you know, he's got all the horse he needs. So there you can see the roller coaster and kind of the sitting on the fence, what to do. So he ran, for him, poorly in the wood. And that was the breaking point. And he had been looked at in Florida with some question marks. Dr. Meg Turpin down there had, or Meg Miller, that's one of those hyphenated, Miller Turpin.
Okay.
And her and Bill Yarborough looked at the horse because he just was an ADR, which is not doing right. So he saw irritation.
So is that like ulcers?
Well, let's just call it irritation. He had some ulcers, but, you know, you get ulcers in 80.
Yeah.
We've talked about ulcers a lot on this program.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So would that be making him do what he did? And he had some ulcer-like behavior, but been on Gastrogard for 5 months.
Yeah.
You know, and there are horses that are Gastrogard resistant. And, of course, the only way you diagnose an ulcer is scope them. So Dr. Turpin or Meg, they scoped the stomach, and they saw some irritation. We'll just call it irritation. There may be some, you know, suggestive ulceration. They also went into his duodenum and looked at that, which showed some similar things.
Yeah.
So now we're outside the stomach a little bit. Anyway, specific ultrasound examinations were done for lungs, liver, kidneys, everything, heart, everything you could think of, and very thorough, and basically was inconclusive. And blood work, inconclusive. A few numbers are off, but, you know, that happens in a lot of these horses. So Mr. Rapoli had me come up to New York, and we repeated everything after the wood.
Yeah.
And we saw some changes, you could say, for the better, for the worse, in the stomach area. He looked a little more aggravated, mm-hmm. and just non-specific.
Well, so, did any kind of an allergy kind of thing do that?
Anything
can
cause it, but do we recognize or know that? No.
No.
I would put that very, very low on the list.
Yeah, did they change his feed any? I bet they did when he didn't clean up.
They did everything you go through on the mechanical side of it, as far as the management part of him. But in horses, as far as allergies, that's probably way, way overdiagnosed.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, after we kind of got working with him, and if he had to work, he'd back out of the tub a little bit. But he got back on full feed with some of the medications that we were providing.
Right.
And one of the different things is a product called Misoprostol, which I say is one of those mouth to anus things to settle things down. It helps the lining of everything secrete better mucus coating as a barrier and the things that you in a natural way, but it takes time to kick in. And so he got that sort of medication. He got some other anti-inflammatory medications to improve his blood flow, and the ultrasounds were good. We didn't find any major issues that it would point out. We monitored his blood work. And there were some changes in the blood work over time that we became concerned about. But
what, kind of change?
Well, non-specific. Non-specific. There were an enzyme area that we were looking at. And so we consulted people to see what it meant, and the bottom line is they weren't sure. So everything is, I think Mr. Rapoli had out there that we're baffled. We're not baffled. We know things to help us determine what could be a cause for all of this. But when you got a horse in training, you're limited as to what you're going to do.
Ask him to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it were...
Now, they did keep on working the horse, breezing the horse.
Yes. He stayed on his schedule.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of works where he was right back cleaning the bottom of the tub within 2 days. And so, you know, he again had everybody on an optimistic trail. It just was that the consistency, especially this last week, was significant enough that everybody put their head together and said, you know, we're fearful that he's not right enough to run in the Kentucky Derby. And that's where it is. And I can't emphasize how much we appreciate Rapoli and Pletcher for setting the tone that the animal comes first.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm sure people will say, well, politics is in there and money and this and that. But that was never part of the discussion. And so it hurts them a lot to have this decision made.
Hurts racing. You too, you know. I mean, this is a colt that everybody wanted to see.
No question. And you know, the optimistic part of me says he'll be back. And we take the time. So we're taking it right from scratch now, and we don't have a gun at our head, right, timing-wise.
Yeah.
And all of those factors are very important. So
they're going to turn them out? Are they going to keep
them? They'll make that, you know, where hasn't been decided.
Yeah.
And
I think he'll back off his training a little bit. And
Well, he's going to probably go out of training. You know,
out of training.
Yeah.
Ooh, turn him out. I got a paddock.
Well, and where he goes, you know, obviously we're going to work him up medically and clinically. We'll
sure.
get the people that have been involved, Dr. Turpin, Dr. Yarborough, Tom Divers out of Cornell.
How do you treat something like this that you really can't put your finger on?
Well, you start out doing what we did. I mean, basically, if you don't know the actual cause, then you treat the symptoms.
Right.
And if that comes around and everything just is wonderful, then you know what the horse has got an insult that he got rid of.
Yeah.
And now we put him into repair. So that's perfectly...
When did they first notice this?
Probably, he went to a farm in Ocala, and Mr. Pletcher wasn't that happy with him when he came out of that farm. But a lot of the horses just don't, you know, they would call that racehorse letdown. And,
yeah, right.
But he just didn't really ever blossom.
Yeah. They turned it. They let him down after the Breeders' Cup and then turned him out. Is that what they did?
Yeah, I think he had a couple of things that were just turnout stuff and layup type thing. So,
well, I think it ought to do with all of them.
Well,
after a certain while.
Well,
used to, Doc. Nobody ran hardly in the wintertime, you know.
Right.
You know, but,
well, you and I think come spring and winter and spring, and when he went back into training, Mr. Pletcher just noticed the inconsistency and the appetite.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the flag that went up there. So the point is you treat symptoms, and a lot of the symptoms, symptomatic care, they get over whatever insults there are. But if the insults remain, then you don't just treat symptoms, you treat cause. And so that's where we're at. You know, what's the bottom line here, and set out a plan. We saw enough improvement with the symptomatic care that we were very encouraged that he'll get over this whole scenario. But again, the training schedule and other things just dictated that it wasn't right to take a chance with this horse.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, and I'm not talking about breakdown or anything like that.
Oh, no, I know.
He
I
just,
know.
Just
the kind of racing he's doing, he needs to be 110%,
right.
Not 90.
Well, this horse probably could win at 90.
Oh, yeah, right.
He might win at 80, you know, but but there are enough flags out there. Again, what do you look at? You can use your ultrasound machine. That's not invasive. A lot of diagnostic procedures are invasive.
Yeah.
You know, get pieces of tissues and things like that. So you use that machine. You use your blood work. You use your clinical sense. But at the end of the day, the horse was, as I always say, is the deaf mute. But he was talking to us.
Yeah.
Talking
to
us all.
Yeah.
We had a lot of good up days. Especially for Mr. Rapoli, he's an optimist and got a lot of resiliency to him. Just when it came to crunch time, we all feel we've done the right thing. Not just for the horse, but for horse racing,
yes,
because
exactly.
It tells us
that
there are people at the highest level that care.
I remember after the wood. The first show that we had back on after the wood, and you sit down there, and I started talking about, and the expression on your face, and I said, uh-oh, I better back off this one. Doc's treating this horse.
Well,
horses get autoimmune things.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that you treat the symptoms and wait for it to get better.
All right.
But it didn't quite get there.
Well, he showed very favorable response, but it was not consistent with it, and then every time if you brought the hammer down on him a little bit, you know, he wouldn't bounce back like you'd expect a horse to. So
want him cleaning up the next day, not 2 days later.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's a heartbreaker.
And then the people that knew that I was involved, the number of suggestions makes you rummy. Have you tried oak bark?
Yeah.
Or leaf trimmings and
yogurt.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, the horse is out of the pressure cooker.
That's so funny.
And so we'll take our time, do
well,
what
I hope he comes
right.
back and better than ever.
I think we're optimistic that he will. I mean, he showed the things, and I can't emphasize how much of a pleasure it was to be around Todd Pletcher. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know him, but he's a professional to the nth degree.
Yeah.
And so Ken Reed, the veterinarian up at Churchill, myself, they said that they would, you know, follow our recommendation, and at the end of the day, that was our recommendation.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, I'm glad you thought of the horse first, and it's nice to know nice things about people like Pletcher and Mr. Rapoli.
Do this, and then let's come back to Doc, because you got more to talk about, don't you?
No.
Oh,
I'm out of here. I'm going to go look at a yearling.
Oh, lucky you. We'll have fun.
Why, do you have something?
No, I just wondered.
Yeah, no.
Well, that was good. I appreciate you talking to me about
it
on the air here, and it was very nice of you.
Well, I think, we'll the pressure cooker's off us as well as far as the confidentiality, because it's important for us to find out what we can find out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And strategically, people will learn from it so that other horses benefit too.
Okay, Doc.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck. Well, First Defense was noted for his brilliant speed, but there's also an abundance of classic stamina in his pedigree. He's sired by Unbridled Song, and Unbridled Song is sired a winner of the Classic Coaching Club American Oaks over 10 furlongs, and of course he is sired by Unbridled and a classic winner, and sire classic winners. Now, First Defense's dam is Honest Lady, a grade one stakes winner of over $894,000, and a daughter of the Triple Crown winner, Seattle Slew. It's a great source of classic stamina. Honest Lady is a half-sister to Empire Maker, winner of the classic Belmont Stakes, and a proven grade one sire. She's also a half-sister to the grade one stakes winner, Empire Maker, sire of winners of the Breeders' Cup Marathon, and another proven grade one sire. First Defense's second dam is, of course, the grade one stakes winner and broodmare of the year, Troussard, a daughter of the classic winner and classic sire, Il Grand Signor by Northern Dancer. Wouldn't go on, but let's get back to speed. First Defense printed 7 furlongs and won 21 and 2 to win the grade 1 four gold, 6 furlongs and 109 and 2 to take the grade 3 diaper, 7 furlongs and 120 and 4 at Belmont, and it won 22 and 1 at Churchill Downs. Now that's speed. The first foals by the First Defense are yearlings. He stands at Judmont Farm for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmontfarm.com. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Carl Lumley, who is a builder, been in the business for 10 years now. And you just listened to Dr. Doug Beyer, and he just, Carl just got through building a house for Doug. And I'll give you his phone number, 333-7914. But Doug does, Carl does a whole lot more than just build houses. I mean, he can build anything. Barns, run-in sheds, you name it, he can do it. They also make repairs, build you a deck. He's put a beautiful deck on Doc's new house where we can go out there and drink beer. And it's a lovely, lovely, lovely house. And the inspectors, when they came in, they were very complimentary over it. The only thing he asked him to do, I think, was put up an extra rail, handrail on the stairway. They had one up, and they said, well, put up two. But then they found out how old Doug was and made him put up another one.
Oh, stop.
Anyway, so if you want somebody to, he's got great references, incidentally. And they've done a lot of work for Brookdale Farm, Denali Stud, people like that, and he can give you all kind of references, including Dr. Doug Byers. And so there you have it. And his bids he'll give you a competitive bid, and he sticks to his bid. He's not going to add on or anything like that. Here's how you get in touch to him. He's got an email. It's Lumley, Lumley, Enterprises at yahoo.com. Or you can give him a call at 333-7914. 333-7914. And that's Carl Lumley. And as I say, he's been in the business far over 10 years.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business. The Clay Ward Agency, 987-1861. Or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency. That's a winning combination.
Well, Tis Deja Vu was a long-striding catch-me-if-you-can runner. He won the Grade 2 one-mile firecracker handicap at Churchill Downs, leading from wire to wire. He won the Grade 2 Jefferson Cup over 9 furlongs at Churchill, again leading wire to wire. He wired the field to take the Grade 2 American Derby at Arlington Park, and going a mile in 3/16. He led all the way to take the 9 furlongs Grade 2 Jefferson Cup at Churchill, and he again led wire to wire to take the mile in 1/16 opening verse stakes at Churchill Downs. That's a track where he was virtually unbeatable. He also set the pace in the Grade 1 Secretariat Stakes at Arlington, finished third at the American Classic distance of a mile and a quarter. Tis Deja Vu is one of 16 Grade 1 runners by the Great Tis now, and he's standing his first season at stud for $5,000, doing the foal stands and nurses. Talked to a man just yesterday who's breeding 5 mares to him. Grand-looking horse. Stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Your inspection's invited. Check the website, crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Well, I think I have Mr. Michael Bowen from Old Friends on the phone with me there. And where in the heck are you, Michael?
We're in downtown Frankfort at the Governor's Derby Breakfast, along with one of our retirees, Dan the Bluegrass Man, Herschel.
Oh, well, I'm sure everybody's glad to see Dan the Bluegrass Man, but what are you doing there?
Exactly. Well, somebody had to feed him carrots. And so, as a woman came by today, she goes, oh, you're like his goat.
Yeah.
I said, that's a great way to explain it.
Yeah. All right, well, how are things going down in Frankfort? That's the breakfast that they have down there.
Yes, oh, the trains have been through here. It's wonderful. It's a great party. I didn't know it was so much fun. I got some great beignets over at the church, and we got pony rides over here and all kinds of old antique cars, and Everybody's out on the town. It's really a nice party, and Dan's behaving himself. All these little kids getting their picture taken, and, you know, and yeah. It's really, really nice. It's great. And yesterday was great. I got to go to Churchill Downs for a little while and see everybody. I saw Nick Zito and talked to him about commentator. And I had a great conversation with Larry Jones, and I got to see Brereton Jones' wonderful horse, No Such Word, the one that donates money to Old Friends. So I got to get see her and
did you
talk
get,
to everybody.
You should have given both Brary and the horse some carrots while you were at it, you know.
Yeah, I should have. I brought some carrots for the horse, so he got some carrots.
Yeah,
I never forget my carrots. That's why I'm the goat.
Oh, yeah. I heard you mention church a little bit earlier. I bet that's the closest you've been to a church in a while.
Church.
Well, let's not go there. You know, my mother might be listening from heaven.
She went to heaven for sure.
Yeah,
bless
exactly.
Her heart.
Yeah, really. I have to tell you that this is kind of a... I guess if people didn't know my mother and my relationship, which was a great relationship, they might think this is a little morbid, but my mother was in hospice the year that Monarcos was in the Derby, and she was living in Connecticut, and I drove down to Connecticut to be with her, and I was handicapping the Derby. It was a Friday, and my sister thought this was one of the most disgusting things she'd ever seen. She goes, you know, your mother's dying, and you're reading the racing form. I said, but I'm reading the racing form to her. I said, you don't understand. We spent most of our best days going to the racetrack having a good time.
Oh,
no.
So
absolutely.
Just go get lunch. So just to irritate my sister, before lunch, I said, Mom, you know, you can die today or you can die on Sunday, but if you die on Derby Day, I'll never forgive you.
Funny.
So my sister went to lunch, and then my mother peacefully passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
Funny.
And it's funny because her favorite song of all time was Sentimental Journey. And the song came on the radio, and she died.
Is that
Isn't
right?
That
yeah.
Interesting.
It was filled with all these kinds of things. Now, she was buried in a Catholic cemetery, and they wouldn't let me write Sentimental Journey on her gravestone because it wasn't religious.
Oh, my.
So I know. I wrote letters, and it made no difference. So years later, I'm at Hurstland Farm with Alfred, and I'm washing my hands at the sink, and just above the sink on the sill, he's got a whole stack of old plates, halter plates. And I'm going through them, and I've seen all the names. And wouldn't you know it, one of them is named Sentimental Journey.
Oh, my goodness.
So 2 months later, I went back to Connecticut to visit my mother's grave, and I put that thing on there with super glue, and it's still on there.
Oh! Would you put the nameplate on there? Is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I attached a Sentimental Journey. Now it's on there, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Oh,
that's
my.
That's great. I love that story, Michael. So good for you.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Mom was great. She loved going to the racetrack. Just loved it.
Well, she's probably in heaven up there with my mother, who loved it, too. Loved it, bet.
Yeah, well, she's up there with my mother. My mother, I would only like to bet horses whose names had to do with cats.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Now, if she was around now with Ken Ramsey winning all these races, she'd be a millionaire.
I tell you, she would. The way he's winning races, she would. Yeah.
I know. It's amazing.
But Jackie's mother-in-law used to come to the races whenever we were running up at Turfway. She lived right there. And we'd be leading the horse over, you know, go by the tote board, and you know, we're like, even money or something when it should have been 20-1. She said, oh, sis is here. And one day she brought this guy and introduced us and everything, and it was a bookie.
Oh, that's funny, isn't
I didn't
that
find
funny?
That out, you know, till later on. I said, my God, sis, don't please. Says, whenever I take out my license, I got to, you know, tell
people. Do you know any bookies?
Yeah. Do you know, are you ever associated with any, you know, bookies or anything? And of course, no.
Well, if you would drive through northern Kentucky and stop at a stop sign, it used to be, you knew a bookie.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, Michael. How was Ferdinand's ball?
It was great. Man, I got my picture taken with so many beautiful women, including Diane.
Oh.
She must be there with you.
She, Katie Upton, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, is in the swimsuit issue. She was there.
Didn't bring her to the show.
She's tall, too. You should have seen her dancing with DeMarcus Cousins. It was a riot.
Oh, God, I bet it was.
It was. DeMarcus was really, really nice, and And we just had a ball. And Kim and Boyle and her sister Amy put on such a great show. It's just, it was a fabulous, fabulous evening. And I can't wait till next year. And we don't have to do anything, basically, because Kim and Amy do it all. And we had great auction items, and it was a wonderful party.
How's it? Well, now, tomorrow's is your homecoming, isn't it?
Tomorrow, 4 o'clock's the homecoming. I mean, it's wild. At 4 o'clock, people can come by. We've got our annual homecoming, and we have a lot of great auction items. It's a chance for people to sleep late after the Derby. The party starts at 4 o'clock, and we usually have a really, really good time.
All righty. Well, we're looking forward to it.
We'll have beer and wine, and Tommy Walters is bringing the Louisiana food, a lot of Cajun food. And
well, we'll be there. We're coming.
I can't wait. We'll have a ball, and hope all the horses come home safe today.
Yeah, exactly. I always hold my breath till they get out of that first turn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary. Well, Michael, thank you, and have a good time down there, and we'll see
all
you.
All right, Ursula. Thanks for everything, buddy.
We'll see you tomorrow.
I'll bring you a donut.
Oh, well, thanks. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there's no substitute for speed. De Hare had speed in abundance. Now his first foal's a 2-year-old, and his very first starter has demonstrated that he is passing on that speed. On April the 22nd at Keeneland, Gypsy Rose won her first career start by a sensational 7.5 lengths in a $50,000 maiden special. Her time for the 4.5 furlongs was 50-1, a new track record. So there you have it. De Hare was described by veteran turf rider Steve Haskin as freaky fast, and it appears that description also applies to Gypsy Rose. De Hare's 2011 stud fee is $7,500 live foal, so now is the time to send a mare to him, because there are more freaky fast runners on the way. De Hare won Grade 1 stakes. In fact, he is one of 10 Grade 1 stakes winners by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again, the sire of more winners of Breeders' Cup races than any active sire. And De Hare is one of 2 Grade 1 stakes winners out of a mare that from a superior stakes family. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes at Shadwell Farm. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All righty, want to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Tack?
Yeah, Ralph's got a special going. Now, these are the belts. The most popular belts, I think they call them horseman's belts. They're not, the leather is not plain. There's a ridge that runs along the side, a little groove on each side. What do you suppose they call that? Anyway, it's bridle leather. It's nice leather. And if you buy one of those and get your nameplate on it, you get a key tag with a nameplate for free. So that's a buy.
Yeah.
For free. Right now. So, Quillen's is in Paris. Of course, it's a fabulous store, and they've got a great gift shop, and they got a bunch of kittens and cats that live in there. They're just nice people. It's a great place to stop. I understand that tours are going to start stopping there because it's very interesting, and they'll, you know, I guess he's going to have Wayne show them how he makes stuff, but it's a great store. It's in Paris. You go straight in Paris. Don't take the bypass. Go up to the light and look over to the left. It's third light from Lexington. And let me give you their phone number. It's 987-0215. Or better yet, you want to take a look at everything, go to Quillen, Quillin.com.
Well, last week at Churchill Downs, the Grade 3 $200,000 Derby Trial Stakes was won by Matchin, a 3-year-old colt by Distorted Humor. Matchin overcame a rough trip to come from 6 lengths out of it at the 8th pole to win, giving notice that he will be a colt to be reckoned with in upcoming stakes. Distorted Humor has already sired nearly 100 stakes winners, including a winner of the Kentucky Derby. He ranked 2nd on the sire list in 2010, 2nd the year before. He's ranked among the top 15 7 times. And that's why in 2010 his sales earnings averaged $381,154, and his sales 2-year-olds averaged $706,250. Sharp Humor, a young graded stakes winner by Distorted Humor, was well on his way to the top of the sire list. His first foals raced at 2 last year. He sired 25 winners to rank number 1 among all Kentucky-based sires. He was also the leading sire of juvenile stakes horses with 11, 5 of them stakes winners. Distorted Humor and Sharp Humor stand at Windstar Farm.
as do the leading sires Bluegrass Cat, Spitestown, and Tisnow. And the young stallions, Colonel John, a Grade 1 stakes winner and a millionaire by Tisnow, Hold Me Back, a multiple graded stakes winner by Giant's Causeway, Grade 1 stakes winner Spring at Last, winner of over $1 million and the leading money-winning son of Silver Deputy, and Super Saver, one of two Kentucky Derby winners by Maria's Mon. Inquiries to Robert Hammond and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Hey, Jackie, want to start on the announcements?
I've got a bunch of announcements. I got a boatload of announcements. The first one, well, it's Derby Day. Surprise. Matt Howard, who comes in here, who's such a nice guy. He is a farm manager at Gentry Farms over here. Sometimes.
You say he's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. He was up here a little bit ago with his little boy. That's the cutest thing. That baby giggles and laughs and carries on. It's adorable. It's such a cute
kid. He's a
kid.
Good-looking kid, and he's...
Despite looking like his daddy?
No, he looks like his mother.
Mama, yeah. Lucky for that boy. And he comes up here, and that little boy has got little fake booties that are fake cowboy boots.
Oh.
And he's got little leather patches on his little britches. I mean, it's just the cutest thing you've ever seen. That kid is a cowboy already. Anyway, Matt was in Stamping Ground yesterday, I think he called me, and a friend of his over there found a horse just running around, a gray mare, thoroughbred-y looking. She's about 15-2 hands. She's been dumped. She's in terrible shape. And his friend took the mare in because his wife has Morgan's, I think he said. Anyway, they've tried and tried to figure out who dumped this horse. Matt says he ever finds who dumped him, he's going to get a punch in the nose because she's not in very good shape. But anyway, she's gray. She's older. Don't know how old she is. No tattoo. He is going to take her himself and put some weight on her and ride her and stuff and train her. And we're going to try and find this mare a home. Stay tuned. If you know anything about this mare or you'd be interested, 15 hands is nice size for a kid if she turns out real quiet. Matt's phone number is 620-794-5028. So we're going to try and find this nice mare home.
All right, and this from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, Kentucky Breds, that won stakes races last week. The Grade 3 Derby trial down at Churchill went to Matchin, bred by Cortland Farm. The Grade 3 Bewitch at Keeneland, Kirtana, bred by Barbara Hunter. The Miami Mile Handicap, Grade 3, down in Florida, went to Successful Mission, bred by Oak Brook Farm. The Grade 3 Westchester Stakes in New York, Keza Electronic, bred by Richland Roan. Is that right? Well, okay. Time to Leave, I can't read my own damn right. Time to Leave Stakes at Hollywood Park went to St. Isabel, bred by Hunter Valley Farm. The Hollywood Wildcat Handicap down at Calder went to Cherokee Queen, bred by J. Mac Robinson. The Queen for Speed Stakes in England went to Southern Style, bred by Twin Creeks Farm. And the Grade 1, 1,000 guineas at Newmarket, Blue Bunting, bred by B.M. Kelly. And, of course, this was compliments and brought to you by our good friends over to Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, one of our this show's original sponsors.
And let me tell you what, add to that, the Grade 3 Betfair Huxley ran in England, Await the Dawn, a four-year-old colt by Giant's Causeway, bred in Kentucky by Judd Bont.
Oh, very good.
So that adds right to that. Mm-hmm. I pick this stuff up here and there, and I never know if I tell him or not. What the heck? Okay. I only tell him what he really needs to know. Okay, like fire and stuff like that. Tomorrow is old friends' homecoming. And did you know Thornfield, the Canadian Horse of the Year 1999, is at old friends'? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, well, I'm okay. Good. One of us will pick it up. Anyway, it starts at 4 in the afternoon and guaranteed that it's going to clear up by then. So it's going to be a nice day. Live auction, silent auction, music, barbecue, farm tours. $25 to get in. Members, $15. We're going to that for sure. Kentucky Equine Humane Center Horse of the Week is Ginger. She is a turn the page. She's an appendix. Well, she could have been a spleen. I think that means she's a quarter horse. I don't know much about quarter horse. Anyway, 6-year-old chestnut mare, 15 hands, cute as can be. Really green. She needs to be some training. She's just probably has been somebody's pet. They get on her and stuff, but she needs more training.
Well, you know, the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine Facility is right over on Georgetown Pike, right where Ironworks empties onto Georgetown. And they specialize in elective surgery and outpatient medicine over there. In other words, if you need a chip taken off a knee or horses, got some kind of a limb deformity or lameness or something like that, you call up, you make an appointment to bring them in, they'd be waiting for you, they take care of you, and then they send you home for the post-treatment, post-care treatment. But it's very convenient for people, and it's the professionals over there, including Dr. Wes Sutter, who's a board-certified surgeon, Dr. Bill Bernard, who was 17 years with Rudin Riddle, and he's heads the outpatient medicine division. Dr. Lori Bidwell, who was also over, she's a certified anesthesiologist, and she was also with Rudin Riddle. Just call them for appointment, and they give you the cost right up front. They tell you what it is, and they give it to you right up front, and absolutely no problems whatsoever. With any change. When you get the bill, that's what it's going to be. Now, notional is by an excess out of a mare that traces in tail male to Northern Dancer. Indian Charlie is by an excess out of a mare that traces in tail male to Northern Dancer. Notional won 3 major graded stakes, ran second to Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Florida Derby and earned over $733,000. Of course, Indian Charlie won the Grade 1 Florida Derby, ran third in the Kentucky Derby, earned over $616,000. Indian Charlie has had the winners of 4 Clips Awards, had the winner of the Jerome just a couple of weeks ago. Notional's first foal, Superb Individuals, or Yearlings this year. He received excellent patronage in his first 2 seasons at stud and will be well represented in one of his first foals race next year. And in order to keep the momentum in his favor, the folks at Spendthrift Farm are offering special breeding incentives to notational this year. Now, you got to have mares, you know, for a horse to make it, and they're going to make sure he gets them. So you're invited to inspect notional at Spendthrift Farm to inquire about breeding incentives and contact Ken Wilkins, Des Nepsey, or Sean Feld or Ned Toppy. And the phone number over there is 294-0030, and the website is spendthriftfarm.com.
Wanted to mention Wycliffe Pharmacy. It's out on Georgetown Road, right where Ironworks dumps into there. Wycliffe Pharmacy is an exceptional place. It is interesting because it is a compound pharmacy. Now, you go to most pharmacies, and if they got what you want, usually they carry everything, but it's always one size fits all. So many grams, so many this, so many that. Doesn't matter how big you are or how much they really want you to have. These things are standardized, but they're not at Wycliffe Pharmacy. They have their own chemist and pharmacist, and they fix it. That's called a compounding pharmacy. I don't know of another one. I never heard of one. I know there are 2 for humans. But anyway, this is a big deal. This is quite a nice thing. I'm going to give you their number so your veterinarian can call them. It's 389-7470. That's 389-7470.
All right, Jackie, you want to continue with your announcements?
Yeah, I've got so much stuff. Tomorrow is the Kentucky Equine Humane Center All-Breed Charity Horse Show at Valley High Show Stables down in Versailles. Whew, call 333-8885. That's Joyce Brinsfield. It's on Pinkard. Excuse me. You go down Bluegrass Parkway, get off the first exit, which is 33, turn left away from Versailles, and go down there is a Y in the road, turn left, and you will be there. Here's a fun one. We're going to this one. Next membership for the farm managers, next membership meeting is Wednesday, May 18th. It's at Keeneland, and it's John Liu, Dr. John Liu. Used to hunt with him. He is, he graduated from the University of Tasmania.
Tasmania?
Yes. I wonder if he knew the devil. I'll bet they're the Tasmanian devils. What do you bet me? Anyway, go Devils. He's got a PhD in equine nutrition, and guess where he works? He works at Macaulay Brothers. He's the director of research and technical service for Macaulay's. He has taught riding. Oh, he's a great rider. He was a steeplechase jockey, too. I knew he could ride. He's a great guy. Anyway, can't wait to see him. RSVP by 5 o'clock, May 13th. That's the next farm managers. Now, they're going to have pint night on the 18th. Bring in your colostrum, and you get a free drink coupon courtesy of Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. And, you know, a whole bunch of stuff is coming up with them, the trail ride and all kind of stuff. And they have a great deal of research going on, too, about taking care of your pastures. They're going to have the golf scramble Monday, June 27th. That's coming up. We got plenty of time to talk about that. Okay. Sheffield Ridge. This is my good friend over near where we live. Sheffield Ridge Farm Spring Hunter Jumper Show presented by Macaulay Brothers.
There you go.
Macaulay's is all over this. Anyway, May 21st, 22nd. Hunter Day is Saturday at 8 o'clock. Starts Jumper Day is Sunday at 8 o'clock. Schooling Friday and Saturday also. So what you want to do is call 502-509-6065 and check it out, Nori Scheffel's place. Okay, if you want to watch Lurcher Trials, that's lurchers are these big hairy dogs. They kind of look like... They look like half greyhounds and half hair.
Half hair?
Yeah, they're hairy greyhound-looking things. The Irish are crazy about them. Anyway, they race them.
The Irish are crazy, period.
I know. Well, anyway, they're going to have a championship lurcher racing at the High Hope Steeplechase. So to get ready, Sunday, May 15th at 4 o'clock, they're going to have practice races, I guess, at Hartwell Farm. That's Robbie Lyon's place. If you want to watch great big dogs run real fast, that's where you go. Okay, May 11th through the 15th and 8th through the 22nd at the horse park are the big deal Kentucky Spring horse shows. This is big A shows and all that fancy dancy stuff. So let me see what else real quick. Of course, the day after the Preakness is the High Hope Steeplechase. We'll have to have somebody from High Hope come on. This year, one of the sponsors and that they're working with is Cardinal Hill.
Yeah.
Near and dear to our heart. So that's something to look forward to. And as always, this weekend at the Horse Park, what is this weekend? An Intercollegiate Horse Show Association National Championship. So, there you go. That's for the horse park. Ooh. I want to say something about the Tulip Bistro and Bar. We're going out for my anniversary. Guess where we are going? We are going to the Tulip Bistro and Bar because there's something else I want to try. I've tried.
I'm just learning about this, John.
Well, you know, got to tell him sometime. This is... Chef Vandendoel, Spencer Vandendoel, was the chef at the Black Tulip in Midway. Absolutely fabulous food. And now they've ripped that tulip bulb up and they've set it down over on Romney Road. It's 355 Romney Road. And, you know, it was picked in the Lane Report as one of the top 10 restaurants in the area, you know, bluegrass. And it is. It is. Reservations are recommended. And it's just good. It's just great. And you can sit outside and count cars if you don't want to sit inside, which is what I did.
We've got a patio out there.
Yeah, patio with...
they serve you drinks out there, though. So uh-huh. You're all right.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's a real good place. Food's out of this world. Like I said, reservations are recommended. This is a Tulip Bistro and Bar. 367-6687. 367-6687.
All righty. Well, Pioneer of the Nile has a classic pedigree, and he was a Grade 1 stakes winner at both 2 and 3. He won the Grade 1 cash call for duty as a 2-year-old at the direct expense of the Grade 1 stakes winner, I Want Revenge. He then extended the string of graded stakes wins to 4, taking in order the Grade 2 Robert B. Lewis Stakes, the Grade 2 San Felipe, the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. Shipped to Kentucky for the Grade 1 Derby, he ran second in a field of 19. Pioneer of the Nile is by the Classic winner and successful sire Empire Maker, the son of the Classic winner and Classic sire Unbridled. Like Pioneer of the Nile, Empire Maker ran second in the Kentucky Derby, and he is a proven sire of Grade 1 Stakes winners. Pioneer of the Nile retired with earnings of over $1,634,000, and his first foals arriving this year are Showstoppers. You're invited to visit Vinery to inspect Pioneer of the Nile and the Vinery facilities for the care of the thoroughbred. Just contact John Gasper, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson, 455-9388. See the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, as said, it would buy the $150,000 Fury Stakes was won by Roxy Gap, a three-year-old filly. She's by Indian Charlie. Roxy Gap sprinted 7 furlongs and won 22-4 to take the Fury. That was her fourth win in 5 career starts. She was undefeated in 3 starts last year, taking the Shady Well Stakes at Woodbine. In her first start in 2011, she ran a game third in the Grade 3 Old Hat Stakes down at Gulfstream, despite a rough trip, then came back to Woodbine for the Fury Stakes. She's earned over $285,000. Her win comes just days after the Grade 2 Jerome Stakes at Belmont was won by Adios Charlie, a 3-year-old colt by Indian Charlie. Of course, Indian Charlie, the sire of Uncle Mo, who won the 4th Eclipse Award earned by the progeny of Indian Charlie. That's the type of performance horsemen have come to expect. And that's why an Indian Charlie 2-year-old topped Keeneland's April 2-year-old in training sale at $625,000. So, for superior results on the tracks and in the sales ring, look to Indian Charlie. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Burt and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, well, we're starting the second hour of this, whatever mess, whatever you want to call it.
Well, let me really quick wrap up my announcements.
Oh, you're going to do that? Okay, John, you hang in there.
We'll hang in.
All right.
He's over here eating Ashley's.
Yeah, you can have another cashew. What are those damn things?
Pistachios.
Pistachios. They're delicious.
Yeah. They are.
Ooh, anyway,
my looks suspiciously like nuts to me.
Well, that... Well, my friend Peggy Maness has Maness Photography over in Midway. She's doing a lot. Oh, she took some great pictures of the Rolex. You can go to MaenessPhotography.com and check those out. They're gorgeous. Anyway, she does the best portrait photography, dogs and stuff, I've ever seen. She does the Woodford Humane Society's calendar.
Yeah, it's, they sell dozens of those things.
Yeah, hundreds.
Hundreds? There's,
yes, they make a lot of money on that. So anyway, if you want to get your doggy woggies,
you think we'd get a free one from?
Well, you'd think, but it's charity, dear.
Oh.
Try not to beg off a charity.
Well, I'm being charitable toward us.
Exactly. Anyway, our number is 846-9343 over in Midway. Stop in. Plenty of places to eat. All right. Toba is having a breeding clinic in Lexington. That's here, May 27th through the 29th. If you want to register and check that out, it's toba.org. Windstar Farm has a membership kind of thing, which are free sections. It's called WindstarStableMates.com. And you get games and contests, and you get access to the farm cameras, which is, you know, kind of, they put cameras up so you can see what's going on around the farm. Well, that's a fun thing. And they have a members-only website, and you can keep up with racing. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of like that virtual farm stuff, only this is a real farm. So, and speaking of cameras, Sean Dameron, our buddy, sells his camera setups where he goes around to your farm or your business or your house, puts up a camera, sets it up so you can get the image on your smartphone, which is with you, or on your computer at home.
Yeah, John, you need one for your shed roll.
I was just going to say, that seems like a pretty interesting proposition. I might have to get his number.
It's 230-6449 is his number. He's in Versailles. But friends of ours put him up on their farm. So instead of having to ride around the farm all the time, he doesn't miss anything. Something wants to colic, you know, way down the other end of 40 acres, they've got it right there on their computer.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
one of those hot walkers puts one in too quick, you can call them up and say, get that horse out of there and take four more times.
Yeah, you can actually, yeah, there you go. You can leave and go to
maybe sleep in a little later one morning.
Yeah,
there you go.
Let the camera do the work.
See who's really doing what. Okay, Horse Park Foundation is having cross-country schooling Sunday, May 15th. Tomorrow's cross-country schooling at Masterson is canceled because it is so muddy and there's so much water that they've canceled that. But the one at the Horse Park is still on for the 15th. That's all.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a set of commercials, then we don't have to interrupt you.
All right. Sounds great, Ursula.
I take care of Claiborne Farm here. And who else? Let me look at my book. Okay. Well, Blame won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, the Grade 1 Whitney, the Grade 1 Stephen Foster, the Grade 2 Clark Handicap, the Grade 2 Fayette Stakes, the Grade 3 William Donald Schaefer Stakes, and the Curlin Stakes. How'd you like to have one of those, John? He won 7 of his 9 starts and stakes and was second in the other two. During his career, he posted 9 consecutive 100-plus buyer speed figures, and he retired with earnings of over $4,368,000. Blame earned an Eclipse Award as champion older horse, and was ranked number 1 in the USA by the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. Blame is one of 4 champions sired by Arch, the sire of Arch, winner of the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby and scheduled to start today in the Kentucky Derby. Arch, a son of Chris S., thus a grandson of the great Roberto, is a great source of classic stamina. Both Eclipse Award winner Blame and his sire stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Let's see what we've got. We've got a Clay Ward supposed to go here now. Silence. We have? No, we haven't. Okay, I'll go ahead and do this. Well, Fusichi Pegasus, winner of the Kentucky Derby, and Thunder Gulch, winner of the Kentucky Derby, both stand at Coomore's Ashford Stud. They have gone on to become successful sires. Fusichi Pegasus, according to statistics published by the Thoroughbred Times, ranked number 1 on the 2010 General Sire List. Thunder Gulch is also ranked number 1 on the sire list. Fusichi Pegasus has sired nearly 60 stakes winners, 10 last year, including the Grade 1 stakes winner Champ Pegasus, who's won graded stakes again this year. He's earned over $1 million now. Other 2010 USA graded stakes winners by Fusichi Pegasus were Distinctive Dixie, My Jan, Premier Pegasus. The most recent stakes winner by Thunder Gulch is Shotgun Gulch, winner in April of the Grade 1 Vinery Madison Stakes at Keeneland. Thunder Gulch has sired 82 stakes winners, a Horse of the Year in the USA, winners of the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes, and Grade 1 stakes winners on 3 continents. Kentucky Derby winner Fusichi Pegasus and Thunder Gulch both stand at Ashford Stud, home of the leading sire in North America for the past 3 years. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coomore. Is something going on here? So here we go. All righty. Playing a little music there by Arthur Hancock. You ever hear Arthur Pick?
I've heard good things. I mean, I guess he started down in the barber shop in Paris down there kind of playing.
Did he really?
I think so. That's what my mom told me. Back in the long time ago.
Somebody wanted me to ask you today, Don Combs, ask him if his mother's name, nicknamed Mo.
She is. Huh? Real name is Alma, goes by Mo to everyone.
Okay.
That's her. He's got my pedigree tab there. Huh?
Well, I tell you what, you've got quite a pedigree. I know you're the third generation horse trainer. Does it go back before that?
I'm the third version, yes, sir. My grandfather and my father both trained horses for Green Tree Stable back in the day there. So I'm trying to follow in their footsteps, as it were. I guess once horses get in your blood, it's hard to, for better or for worse. My mom would probably say for worse. Kind of stay with you.
Well, Green Tree's gone now. Of course, both your father and your grandfather have passed on, but they were great horsemen. And they trained. Did you ever have an opportunity to meet your grandfather?
I did. I actually knew him real well. He passed away in 1980, I believe. And for a while there, my brother and I would go down to Aiken every winter. He was basically, I never got to see him kind of in action training horses, but got to know him as a person down in Aiken once he had retired, and we visited every Christmas and on holidays and stuff, so I did get to know him pretty well.
Well, I mean, retired from Green Tree, but wasn't he running a training center down in Aiken?
No, sir. When he left Green Tree, my father pretty much took over, and that the Aiken Training Center down, I guess in a way you could say that, there are Mac Miller and Granddad and a couple other guys. Willard Freeman, I think, was another one. They kind of ran it, but weren't really kind of, they kind of kept it going, if you will.
Yeah. This was back now when he was down there in the early 80s, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah. That was quite a place down there. Everybody used to go to Aiken at that time.
I know it. My brother and I were both born down there. It's a really neat town. They still have the clay roads, kind of. Any chance that, which isn't a lot anymore, get to go back to Aiken. It's always nice to, it's still kind of the way it was back then.
Yeah.
It brings back a lot of memories.
Now, your grandfather started out teaching, didn't he?
He did, actually. He was a Spanish teacher, believe it or not. And,
well, he come in handy around here now.
I mean, he could teach me a few things about Spanish.
So you and me.
That would be great. I'd make my job a lot easier, it seems like. But yes, sir, he was a Spanish teacher at a boarding school, I believe, up in Massachusetts. I might be wrong about that, but I know it was Spanish, and I know it was a boarding school. So.
Yeah, one of those prep schools up there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, he was a Princeton grad, I believe.
Yes, sir, he was. He was. So if I can remember back correctly, I think he used to say he was the only horse trainer that had a college degree back in the day. So, and maybe that was other people that said that about him. So, yeah, he kind of took a different route, I guess, to get to training horses.
Did you ever get to talk to him about some of the great horses that he trained?
You know, Stage Door Johnny was probably, that was the year I was born in 1968, and, you know, and the Axe as well was another one, kind of horses that kind of came along for him later in his career that I can kind of remember, and we would talk about them a little bit. Would reminisce occasionally about, you know, being Kentucky Derby Day. Was fortunate enough to win the Derby in 1942.
The shutout.
Shutout, yes, sir. And we were talking the other day, actually, there was an entry in that race, and, you know, he wasn't the favorite. I think the better, maybe the entry was favored, but Devil Diver, I believe, was considered to be the better horse of the two.
And R. Carroll chose to ride Devil Diver.
It was an unfortunate decision, I guess, for him, but he'd come back and win a few Kentucky Derbies on his own.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. I think the first start that year for Devil Diver was in the Phoenix, and he won it out there, sprinting out of Keeneland.
I believe you're right. You know, he was a... I know they had a lot of high hopes for him. Kind of reading things, and from what I hear, as a 2-year-old, and he kind of came along at the right time.
Well, he went on a great horse, you know.
Great horse.
Yeah.
Turned out to be an okay handicap horse, and I want to say he was like fifth or sixth in the Derby that year and didn't run too bad.
He was sixth. And he went on to become a champion handicap horse, I think he was 5 years old, maybe when he did that.
Maybe so. I know that he went on, and it was, he just kind of wasn't a one flash wonder as a 3-year-old. He kind of went on, and those handicap races back then where they pile a lot of weight on you.
Oh yeah.
it worked pretty testing, but he was a nice horse, no doubt about it.
And the other horse, Shutout, I believe he won the Bluegrass, didn't he?
He did win the Bluegrass, and yeah. I'm not sure how he ran in the Preakness. I'm pretty sure he ran in that race as well, and I can't recall off the top. I'd have to kind of go back and look, but you know, he turned out to be okay as well.
Won the Belmont.
Did win the Belmont.
So that was two out of three there.
Granddad had a lot of luck in the Belmont. It seemed like that was a race that he seemed to do the best in.
Won it three times?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes,
who were the other two now? Stage Door Johnny.
Stage Door Johnny won the Belmont, and you're kind of, I can't recall the other one off the top of my head. I'll think of
Capot.
It. Capot.
Yeah,
that's
there
correct.
We go. Yeah.
He might have won the Preakness and the Belmont, actually. He was a really nice horse as well. So, yeah. Great owners, you know, the Whitneys and Mrs. Payson, they were blessed. He was blessed to have some nice stock, and, you know, they had a lot of luck together.
I don't believe that your grandfather or your father ever trained for anybody else but Green Tree, did they?
No, sir. My dad, kind of later in his career, I had a public stable for a couple of years before he retired, but kind of while they were on a roll there in the main part of their careers, just strictly for Green Tree.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is kind of different from today's day and age, that's for certain.
Yeah, right. And he trained, your dad trained some top horses, too. I think you mentioned Late Bloomer.
Late Bloomer was a really nice grass filly. Bowl Game was a nice grass gelding, I believe.
And I believe he was a champion grass horse, too, wasn't he?
He was. He won the Man of War and the Turf Classic and the DC International. I remember kind of traveling around with him, seeing those races.
Did you get to see him?
I was about 10 years old then, so I could. That was... You know, you see things like that, and you go to those kind of big races and get a taste of it. That kind of, you know,
that hooked you.
That doesn't take much to hook a old hayseed like me. That's for certain. So, you know, it was those were good days for certain. Buckaroo was another horse that he trained that ran was a nice kind of a middle distance kind of sprinter.
Sired a Derby winner.
Yeah. Nice sire as well. Turned out to be a good sire. Woodchopper was a nice horse. I actually remember Kentucky Derby 1981 or 82. Going, I guess, this old first Saturday in May, like today, going to watch that race. Eddie Delahousse rode him, actually, and he kind of came running there. It was kind of a roughly run race. Pleasant Colony beat him. A couple jumps after the wire, though, he was galloping out in front. So that was a fun day as well. So both of them were blessed to have some nice horses under their shed row. That's for certain.
Did he train Hatchet Man?
He did. That was my dad's favorite horse by the Axe, who my grandfather trained. Nice gray, who I believe he won the Flamingo. And he had something happen to him before. He was a real promising three-year-old, and I think he had some issues that kind of kept him out of the dirt of the Triple Crown Trail, but I think he came on to be an okay older horse as well. Maybe won the Widener when he was older, and he was my dad's favorite, actually.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah. The Axe, there was a, trying to think who he was by, but he stood over Duval Headley's.
Yes, sir.
And was a nice stud horse.
Stud horse.
Yeah, did. He might have been a Mahmood, but I wouldn't bet my money on it there.
You might be right. I'm not going to wager with you, though.
Well, I'm not going to wager either. but anyway, so you got to see a bunch of those races. Any of them stick out in your mind?
The Derby, of course, does. And the DC International, the Bowl Game one, was a really exciting race. I mean, it was, Laurel, but it was kind of different, more of like an Arlington Million kind of a feel to it. And I think that was kind of the race, if I'm not mistaken, that preceded that whole kind of an international field. It was a fun day.
Yeah. Well, you went on a racetrack somewhere. What time? When did you do that?
I actually kind of tinkered around with, wanted to always be a trainer, but, was kind of worried about, the money end of it and getting horses and everything. So I worked for actually the racing form for a little while when I got out of college.
Where were you with the racing form?
I was actually based here in Lexington, did more handicapping and wrote a few articles for them, but more of a handicapping, set morning line odds kind of a thing. And then after that, I actually went to Churchill Downs when they kind of started off their internet presence and helped them develop their website and did some online handicapping for them. And while I was over there, I actually started moonlighting, if you will, in the morning for my cousin Mike Bell, hot walking. And this was back in 2000, 2001, and kind of started from the bottom, hot walking, rubbed a few horses, worked for him for about 6 years trying to learn the ropes, and then I went off to work for Billy Mott for 3 years, and here I am. I took out my trainer's license in late 2007, and have kind of, well, I think I ran one horse in December of that year, and have kind of been going ever since, trying to keep my head above
water. You were you were working with Logan Bailey.
Logan Bailey, he's a good man. I know him really well. He was in the same, we were in that office off Harrodsburg Road and on Corporate Drive, mm-hmm. and he's a really good man.
Well, you know, I used to work for the racing farm.
I know you do. That was a fun job. I mean, free past performances and actually a paycheck every week.
It was
pretty nice.
And going to the Derby with that box up there was, man. You couldn't beat that.
You couldn't beat it.
Right smack dab on the finish line high where you could see it.
It was
press box.
I'd like to be up there today.
Actually, I'll tell you a story about Logan. I heard him.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
The best thing ever happened to the racing form was when I retired and Logan took over.
I don't know about that.
Well, I do.
I'll take your word for it, but I don't know if I believe it too much.
Oh, he's a great guy. He really is. And I think he's retired now, too.
I believe so. I kind of miss seeing him. I bump into him every now and again at Keeneland, it seems like. And then I haven't seen him around much anymore, but I know he's... I'm sure he's doing well.
I need to check in with him. I haven't been. Usually, when I want something, you know, I'll call Logan.
There you go. He's the man to call.
He's the man to call because he knows.
No doubt about it.
It was fun working with Logan too. We had a lot of fun out there. At that time, our office was at Keeneland.
I remember him talking about that.
Yeah, right. Basically, right where the right in the area where gift shop is.
I know we're right in that kind of a small little.
Yeah, but at that time you go into, you know, that big room, and when you go into the clubhouse.
Yes, sir.
And then you turn left and is.
I know exactly where you're talking about.
Work toward the track.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, we had three of those rooms there. They were stalls, of course.
Right.
And our rent was the charge of stall rent.
That's.
Isn't that pretty neat? Huh?
That's all right.
But you learn a lot working for those, because you learned a handicap.
I did. I mean, it's kind of come in helpful, training horses now and picking spots and reading condition books and all that kind of stuff. And I always enjoyed kind of, even as a kid, dad or granddad have the racing form kind of laying around, and you look through there, and you know, it didn't take much, like I say, to hook me up on the game. So
yeah, exactly. You just got back up here from Florida. You had a string down there now.
Yes, sir.
You've got a pretty good size string of horses now.
Actually, we've been kind of scratching and clawing along. Got 15 head out here at the training center. It's been great. Did okay over the winter down in Florida, and got a pretty good mix of horses now. Some 2-year-olds kind of coming around, and some older horses, and hopefully finally getting a little action at the races. So I guess that's what it's all about at the end of the day.
I think when I first met you, you were working for Mike.
Right
out here.
Yes, sir. Over right across at the 5/8 bowl. We were out here for a long time. I like it out here. Horses seem to do okay, and the surface is really nice. So it's been good to me.
Yeah. Mike is, of course, I think he's training a few now again. He quit training, and then he... went work with his family out there at Mill Ridge Farm.
He's probably one of the better horsemen that he basically taught me by everything that I know. He's a kind of a mentor for me, and he actually was by the barn today. I ran a horse at Churchill yesterday that he actually picked out, and I bought him. And he was a 4-year-old first-time starter, and he actually ran a pretty good race. He was fourth in there, and he came by to see him today, so... It's always a pleasure to...
Came out here.
He did.
That bum didn't stop by here and see him.
I'll be sure to get on him about that.
All right. Oh, that's something else. Well,
man, he's a really good man. He's a great horseman. He does have 4 head, I think, in training right now, or around about that number over at Keeneland.
Yeah, in addition to what he does at the farm.
Yes, sir.
Mill Ridge Farm.
Yes, sir.
Where are you going from here, John?
We're
going
to stay in Kentucky until... winter rolls around, and then probably head back down south to the Ocala area, but hopefully support Kentucky Racing, run a few, got a few to run at Churchill, and some that'll fit a little better, maybe at Indiana Downs, and maybe like to stay in Kentucky for the spring and summer and fall.
Well, good. You going to stay right here?
I'll be right here, yes, sir.
Ah, up there in Barn G.
Barn G.
Well, I'll know where to find you.
You know where to find me. If I get in any trouble, you can kind of straighten me up a little bit.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm going to let you go, and I appreciate you stopping by.
Yes, sir, anytime. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Good luck to you, John.
Thank you very much, Ursel.
All right.
Okay.
Well, First Defense was noted for his brilliant speed, but there is also an abundance of classic stamina in his pedigree. He sired by Unbridled Song. Yeah, give him that. An Unbridled Song has sired a winner of the Classic Coaching Club American Oaks over 10 furlongs. And, of course, he's sired by Unbridled, a classic winner and sire classic winners. First Defense's dam is Honest Lady, a grade one stakes winner of over $894,000, and a daughter of the Triple Crown winner, Seattle Slew. Great source of classic stamina. Honest Lady is a half-sister to Empire Maker, winner of the Classic Belmont Stakes, and a grade one sire. She's also a half-sister to the grade one stakes winner, Empire Maker. Sire of a winner of the Breeders' Cup Marathon, and a grade one sire. And First Defense's Second Dam is a grade one. What am I doing there? Also a half-sister to the grade one stakes winner, Chester House. Sire of a winner of the Breeders' Cup Marathon and a grade one sire. There we go, Ursel. Get it straight. Horse bred like this, there's so many runners in there, I don't know what to do. First Defense of Second Dam is grade one stakes winner and broodmare of the year, Troussade. She's the daughter of the classic winner and classic sire, El Grand Senor, and of course, he's by Northern Dancer. Now, we can go on, but let's get back to speed. First Defense sprinted 7 furlongs and won 21 and 2 to win the grade one forego, 6 furlongs and 109 and 2 to take the grade three Jiper, 7 furlongs and 120 and 4 at Belmont, and in 1:22-1 at Churchill Downs. Now, that's speed. First foals by First Defense of Yearlings. He stands at Judmont Farm for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at claibonfarm.com. Well, I want to talk a little bit about my good friend Tom Biederman. Central Kentucky properties for sale, quality farms, residential, estates, you name it, and Tom's got it. He knows where every sinkhole is in Central Kentucky, and he's a great guy to do business with. Give you his website. It's BiedermanBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN Brokerage.com. Phone number's 277-2030. Now, he's got some great places for sale here.
Yeah, let me talk about them because I like these places for sale. You can go to his website, of course. But if you want to live on a nice place and not that much money, it's 5540 Russell Cave, 40 acres, 12-stall barn, sheds, asphalt roads. Oh, it's $625,000. I'd kill for an asphalt road. We're about out there with rocks. Anyway, the other one I really like is 6855 Mount Horeb, 5341 square foot house on 7.9 acres. It's a fabulous house. It's $595, and room for a pony, as they say. So there you go. Go to his website, BiedermanBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN, Brokerage.com.
Well, 5 of the 19 entries in today's Kentucky Derby, actually 5 of the 13 that were foaled in Kentucky, were raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Arch was raised at Vinery, Midnight Interlude at Winter Quarter Farm, Shackelford at Belvedere Farm. Stay Thirsty was raised by John and John Darren Gunther. Twin Spired was raised at Goodwin Farm. Congratulations and best luck to all. Now, associates of McCauley Brothers garnered 6 Eclipse Awards last year, and both the Horse of the Year in the USA, Zenyatta, and the Horse of the Year in Canada, Biofuel, were raised on McCauley Brothers products. It has been the goal at McCauley Brothers to produce the finest feeds and supplements for the horse in the world. And the success of clients gives testimony to the fact that they're doing just that. To join the winning team, call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333. You'll be doing business with the only feed mill in Kentucky that produces products exclusively for the horse. McCauley Brothers, 111 Broadway in Versailles. That's where it's all about the horse. Thank you.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather's clear.
All righty. I want to thank John Gaber for coming. What a nice...
And what a good interview.
It was interesting.
Well, you know, his young man's been brought up right, and he's just a great family. And I'm sure he'll end up getting going to the Hall of Fame like his grandfather did.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about a couple of horses that his grandfather trained, shut out in Devil Diver. And they both ran in the 1942 Kentucky Derby. Shut out was by Equipoise. Of course, bred by Greentree, out of a mare named Goose Egg. Isn't that a good name? Shut out by Goose Egg.
Well, that is good.
Yeah, but she was by Imported Chickle. And, of course, he won the Derby in the Belmont. Beat Al Sab in the Belmont, and Al Sab had won the Preakness and went on being voted champion. 3-year-old Al Sab did. He was by Good Goods. Shutout also won the Travers, the Bluegrass Stakes, the Arlington Classic, and the Laurel Stakes. And as a 2-year-old, he won the Grand Union Hotel Stakes. Went to stud, of course, at Greentree Farm. Buried over there, but it's now Gainesway. It's when you're coming out to the... Russell Cave, you go over the Russell Cave, Paris Pike, you cross over the creek, and it's Greentree was right there on the right. You go to that first entrance where it says La Troine Street, and go back up in there, and you'll find his grave. He sired 15 stakes winners evening out. He won the Matron, the Spinaway, the Fashion, the Skylerville, the National Stallion Stakes, Philly Division, of course. She won the Monmouth Oaks. So Social Outcasts was by Shutout out of a mare named Pansy. And Social Outcast was a really good horse. Won the Whitney and the Widener, the Sunset Handicap, Gallant Fox, John B. Kimball Handicap, and also won the Remsen's the 2-year-old. He raced for Alfred Gwynn Vanderbilt. He sat Hall of Fame and won the American Derby and the Arlington Classic. Closed Doors won the Salvatore Mile and the UN Handicap. Evening Glow won the Correction. One Hitter, another good horse. Suburban he won. He won the Manhattan and the Saratoga Handicap. Questionnaire Handicap. Won the Massachusetts Handicap. And he sat a real nice horse named Sunset Glow. He was shut out, was broodmare sire of the Axe the Second, Malicious, Taken Aback, who won the Spinster right here at Keeneland, and broodmare sire, incidentally, of Exclusive Native, who was the sire of Affirm. Now, Devil Diver, who went in the Derby that day, he was by St. Germans out of Dabchick by Royal Menstrual. Of course, he was part of the entry that Mr. Gaber sent up there. He'd been an excellent 2-year-old. He'd won the Sanford and the Hopeful, beating Shutout. He won the Breeders' Futurity, beating the top filly, Miss Dogwood. Dogpatch ran third. Ran second to Some Chance in the Futurity, second to Apache in the Remsen. Apache raced for Walter Jeffords. Ran second to Contradiction in the Pimlico Futurity. He ran third in the Grand Union Hotel Stakes at Saratoga to Shut Out and Requested. Requested sent a questionnaire, by the way. And coming up as it won his first start of the year as a 3-year-old, and I was right, it was in the Phoenix, and he beat Whirl Away and Sun Again that day. And R. Carroll had ridden him in one other time. He rode him the day he won the Phoenix. He won him in his first start as a 2-year-old, in which he had finished second. But after he won the Phoenix, he was given the choice which one to ride, and he chose Devil Diver, and of course Shutout won it. And Devil Diver ran six, got beat 7 1/4 lengths. But he didn't win a stakes race as a 3-year-old other than the Phoenix. He did run second in the Vosburgh and third in the Jerome. As a 4-year-old, he won the Toboggan, the Metropolitan, the Carter, and the Brooklyn. 5-year-old, he won the Pomonok under 130 pounds, beating Apache. He won the Toboggan under 134. I think John referred to some of these weights that they were loading them down to with. Won the Metropolitan under 134. Won the American Legion Handicap under 136. He won the Whitney, beat Prince Quillo, incidentally, and Bolingbrook in the Whitney. Prince Quillo and Bolingbrook, what they used to call cup horses, horses that wanted to go a mile and a half or longer. The further they went, the better they got. He won the Wilson in the Narragansett Special, carried 130 pounds when he won the Narragansett Special. Also won the Manhattan Handicap. He ran third in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, going 2 miles, got beat by Bolingbrook, and second in the Pimlico Special by Calumet's great filly Twilight Tear, who was the horse of the year that year. I don't know, but anyway, that he was champion, Old O'Male champion handicap horse that year. Pimlico Special was at 1 3/16. 6-year-old, all of his starts were in New York. He won the Pomona, beating Apache. He won the Metropolitan, beating Alex Barth. He won the Suburban over Stymie. Stymie, of course, by Equestrian. Ran second to Apache in the Toboggan, sprinting. And in his last start, he was second to Stymie in the Brooklyn Handicap. As a stud, he sired 18 stakes winners. Did, I guess, a little bit better maybe than Shutout. He went to stud, of course, at Green Tree, and then later on was transferred over to the Stallion Station over on the Paris Pike when Lou Doherty had it. And he sired Bo Diablo, who won the Pimlico Cup, won a couple other handicaps up north of Long Island, the display. He called over, won the Trenton, a lot of white, won the Excelsior and the Grey Lag. Devilkin won the Comely. Ruddy won the Mammoth Oaks, and he was the broodmare sire of Make Sale, who won the Alabama. Outer Space won the Mother Goose. Tingle, she was by Spy Song, incidentally, won the Ashton Stakes right here at Keeneland. Pointer, I believe, went to stud over here at Gallagher Farm, which is now the training center over on Russell Cave Road. Pierpontella, very fast filly by Royal Serenade. Uppercut, they were all out of Devil Diver mares. He was by St. Germans. His sons of St. Germans had a fertility problem. Devil Diver didn't. But 20 grand, who had won the 31 Derby, he never sired a foal. And then, of course, St. Germans was a grandsire of Assault, who was sterile, of Capot, who I don't believe he sired 5 foals. Middle Ground, a Derby winner. Middle Ground just had low fertility. He did sire a few foals, but not in any number. And St. Germans, of course, was by Swinford, who had won the Carnation Cup, and a couple of the nice races, ran third in the English. No, I believe he was second in the English Derby. Don't ask me what year. Well, you know, there's no substitute for speed. DeHare had speed in abundance. His first foals are 2-year-olds, and his very first start has demonstrated that he's passing on that speed. On April the 22nd at Keeneland, Gypsy Rose won her first career start by a sensational 7.5 lengths in a $50,000 maiden special. Her time for the 4.5 furlongs was 50-1. We had something work a half in 51. We were pretty pleased. Anyway, so that was a new track record out of Keeneland. So there you have it. DeHare was described by the veteran turf rider Steve Haskin as freaky fast, and sure looks like that description also applies to Gypsy Rose. DeHare's 2011 stud fee is $7,500 live foal. So now is the time to send a mare to him, because there are more freaky fast runners on the way. DeHare won Grade 1 stakes. In fact, he is one of 10 Grade 1 stakes winners by the Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again. The sire of more winners of Breeders' Cup races than any active sire. And DeHare is one of 2 Grade 1 stakes winners out of a mare from a superior stakes family. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes at Shadwell Farm, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I got to meet Ron Wallace just a couple of weeks ago, and a very interesting guy. Extremely well-educated, well-spoken. And a great background, great background in with horses. You know, he came up under some of the top farms here in Kentucky. Judmont for one of them, Three Chimneys for another, over in Woodford County. my voice is about to give out on me. And what Ron does, he's got an outfit called Equine Farm Management. And basically what he does is he helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms. He comes in, and if you're setting up a horse farm, he'd be glad to design it for you. We'll staff it for you.
That's worth its weight in gold.
Keep your books for you. Pay your bills for you. Manage the place.
Yeah.
And he'll get you all set up, everything running just as smooth as a Mercedes. And you can, if you like, when the time comes and he gets it all running good, he can step aside and it'll just keep right on running. And you can call him in any time and he'd be glad to advise you. And he's done it with a lot of really high-class farms around here. And one of them I would like to point out, because Jackie and I admired this, is right up here on the Paris Pike, and it's Hurricane Hills.
Gorgeous place.
And we were commenting, and said, you know, boy, that place is laid out nice. And the barns are wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he would oversee the building of those barns. And he's a great guy to do business with that way. You know, can just help you along. He's also done, well, so let me some of these farms around here. The Forging Oaks Farm here in Lexington. Summer Wind Farm, of course, over into Georgetown.
Right? That's a nice place.
Isn't it a gorgeous place right across from Old Friends? Golden Age Farm down in Versailles. He did some Normandy Farm right up here. He's done some work for Normandy Farm. Live Oak Stud down in Ocala. And he's done places up in New York for Paladese Investments, and you'd name it, and he's done it.
Got a great resume.
Got a great resume, and is a great guy. And let me give you his website, and I'm looking for it right here.
Equinefarmmanagement.com.
Boy, that's a toughie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Equinefarmmanagement.com, and it's Ron Wallace. You can get his phone number and everything right off of that, so go check it out. Equinefarmmanagement.com.
Now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at FrisNet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I did?
Yeah.
All righty. Super Saver, last year's Derby winner, lived up to his classic pedigree by winning North America's most coveted race. That, of course, the Kentucky Derby. And when we say classic pedigree, we mean just that. He is one of two Kentucky Derby winners by Maria's Mon. His dam is the daughter of one of the all-time greats, A.P. Indy, and of course, a classic winner and a classic sire. His second dam is a graded stakes winner, Get Lucky, daughter of Mr. Prospector, sire of the winners of all three Triple Crown races. And she is also the grand dam of grade one stakes winner, Bluegrass Cat, a courageous second in both the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont Stakes. The next dam is the grade one stakes winner, Dance Number, a grade one stakes producer and the daughter of yet another all-time great classic winner and classic sire, Northern Dancer. Now that's a pedigree of classic proportions. Now add to the fact that Super Saver was a grade two stakes winner as a two-year-old. Todd Pletcher described him as his fastest two-year-old that year. Plus the superb confirmation, and you have the makings of a great sire. Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver is standing his first season at stud at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. See the website at windstarfarm.com. Alrighty, I've got to read something. Will you hand me those books over there? Yeah. I want to read something by Joe Palmer. I'm trying to do that every week. I got real upset because a couple of good friends of mine said they'd never heard of Joe Palmer. Well, that's blasphemy as far as I'm concerned. Would you get me another Coke? Thank you, Ressie. I appreciate it. My whistle's bent. And so he wrote a little bit about the Kentucky Derby. I want to read that. My voice hangs on in there. So this is Joe Palmer. There are two moments in a diver's life, according to the late Robert Browning. In one, a pauper, he pauses for his dive. The next, a prince, he rises with his pearl. Why no one thought of this as a lead when Pearl Diver won the Epsom Derby in 1947, I don't know. Possibly the English were still reading Longfellow and Lowell on Lend-Lease. If so, we win at least one exchange. But this was one of those moments of pausing for the dive. A thin file of racers was stepping slowly out from beneath the crowded stands at Churchill Downs. A band was playing My Old Kentucky Home with intense feeling and a trumpet which was a half-tone flat. 100,000 people, give or take a half dozen, were straining for a glimpse of the Derby parade. There were flashes of crimson and gold and purple silk under a watery May sunshine as a dozen or so jockeys tried to ride to the post with what they hoped was nonchalance. At the moment, a dozen or so horses held the nation's sporting interest, the pick of a crop of perhaps 8,000 foals. A quarter hour later, one would stand garlanded and restive in the presentation enclosure as the others went back to the barn beaten. The winner might be 5-2 in the mutuals, but it was 8,000-1 on a spring night 3 years earlier when his dam heaved up from a straw-filled stall and had a look at him. Outside the racetrack, there was a tense, expectant whirl, waiting crouched over its radios and occasionally sending one of the children down to the drugstore for razor blades. Men paused over their lobster pots on offshore Maine to adjust the portable. For that fleeting instant, no one cared what Rita or Princess Elizabeth was doing. It was, you understand, a very solemn moment. I wonder, remarked John McNulty of the New Yorker, what would happen if a conversation were ever held at Mecca? How would you write or lead? The band had got to by and by hard time comes a knocking before this was figured out. Mr. McNulty had evidently worked on a copy desk somewhere, and under his recalling fingers had come many a story beginning, Indianapolis was the mecca of auto racing enthusiasts today when, or Philadelphia became the mecca of the services today when Army and Navy, and others of what is called an ilk. All the same, and with all proper apologies, Louisville, Kentucky is about to become the mecca of. The gateway to the South, it says on the bridges, will brace itself against successive waves of visitors with no noticeable gift for quietude, and the tempo will rise until late on the afternoon of the first Saturday in May. On the following afternoon, Louisville could be grouped around St. Anthony's hut on the seabed without disturbing his devotions. This tourist often stays over an extra day just to listen to the silence. The more shallow worshippers who merely want to say they've been to Mecca will pile in just before the Derby, and the sound of their coming will be like the roaring of waves upon the beach. The more devout will journey a little earlier and will stop at Lexington to lay a carrot on the tomb of man of war before going on to the turbulent testing ground on the south bank of the Ohio. Man could write.
Absolutely.
He could flat write. I tried to tell those guys that.
I'll tell you what, though. St. Anthony and the...
Thebed,
which is Thebed. Anyway, it's the banks of the Thebes.
Yeah.
And St. Anthony never went there, but he did write a few sermons, which makes me wonder if he wrote a sermon about the Thebes, because I can't figure that one out at all.
Well, notional is by in excess out of a mare that traces in tail mail to Northern Dancer. Indian Charlie's by in excess out of a mare that traces in tail mail to Northern Dancer. Notional won 3 major graded stakes, ran second to Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and earned over $733,000. Indian Charlie won the Grade 1 Florida Derby, ran third in the Kentucky Derby, and earned over $616,000. Now, Indian Charlie is sired the winners of 4 Eclipse Awards. Notional's first foals, Superb Individuals, are yearlings this year. He received excellent patronage in his first 2 seasons at stud and will be representative when his first foals race next year. In order to keep the momentum in his favor, the folks at Spendthrift Farm, in order to get more mares to him, are offering special breeding incentives to Notional this year. You're invited to inspect Notional at Spendthrift Farm and inquire about breeding incentives. Contact Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffee And the phone number is 294-0030. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Jim Fitzgerald owns Knock Griffin Farm down in Paris, Kentucky. He, of course, came up under the top horsemen in the world, people like Michael Osmond, John Williams, and Lee Eaton. And he's one of the top horsemen in the world. In addition to Knock Griffin, which is in Bourbon County, owns Harper's Island. And those farms are about 10 minutes apart, as a matter of fact, there. And they both have great facilities for boarding and sales prep and sales, both public and private. Rehab, you name it, and they can do it. And you've got a top horseman taking care of it. Quality farm help, he would have nothing but that. And he can give you some sound, common sense advice if you're getting into the business or if you're in the business and you're not too happy with the way things are going. That's Knott Griffin Farm, Jim Fitzgerald, 987-8032. And his website is knockgriffinfarm.com.
Sally Vann are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Vann, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Vann Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vann's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, I've got Steve Moody with me today, and Steve's going to give us the winner of the Kentucky Derby, God bless him. And I don't know how he's going to pick it. Steve has scratched my horse, so I'm safe. Who do you like?
Well, Ursel, I've told everybody that I'm kind of on plan C when it comes to the Derby. My plan A was a week ago, if you'd asked me, I said I was going to take Toby's Corner. And then he came up with an injury, and he dropped off. And then plan B was going to be Arch. And unfortunately, they ran out of post position, so they gave him the only one they had left. That was the one hole, and that was not acceptable. So I'm on plan C now. I went with Soldat for Kieran McLaughlin, a native Lexingtonian, and. I'm also, it would not upset me greatly if it happened to rain just a little bit before the Derby, because I know he loves the off track. But I just think his race in the Florida Derby is one that you can hopefully just throw out. They kind of tried to take him off the pace, and he was down the rail that day and didn't like being restrained and didn't care for the kickback and all of that, and he just threw in a bad race is all you can say, and hopefully today he'll come rolling out of there and from the outside, and I don't necessarily think he'll be on the lead, but I think he'll be reasonably close.
What post position did he draw now? I don't have it.
He's 17.
Seven. That's okay.
Yeah, and I think he'll be laying there maybe fourth or fifth in the early part of it, and be right there if he's good enough to hopefully take over at the head of the lane and beat the late runners to the wire. And like I said, it wouldn't bother me in the least if the heavens happened to open a little bit before the race and make that track sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
But I used the favorite, Nick Zito's horse, Dialed In. He's my second choice. Certainly can't knock him. I mean, he's come within a half a length of being unbeaten. And if he won, certainly would be no surprise. He's going to be running at the end. The only issue is can he pass 18 rivals?
Amen.
And, at 4-1 or whatever he's going to be, it's kind of hard to take him at that price. And then I did stay with Arch as my third choice. I really think he's, steadily improving and kind of got the family connections there. It'd be great to see Jinx Fires win the Derby. Where's his son-in-law riding for him, John Court, and so that'd be quite a story. And so that's my, we'll go 17, 8, and 1, and then kind of a long shot choice. I think I think might have a chance is the Team Valor horse, the 16 Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
I know he's a turf and polytrack horse, but he really worked well at Churchill. I thought that, I don't know if you saw that work, Ursel, but really was moving out in the stretch and really seemed like he liked the track. And he certainly bred to, you know, get the distance.
Yes,
that's
he
not
is,
a,
yeah.
That's not an issue. So I'm going to use him as a, throw him in there somewhere in a trifecta or super or something.
All right, Steve, I appreciate it. And good luck to you.
All right, Ursel, same to you.
Yeah, all righty. And this has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And you can buy that wherever you find a daily racing form published by my good friends over at Briss. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Ursel.
Well, I'm going to leave you with this. I've got a couple of minutes. I think I can get this done. This was written. It's called Reunion. And it was first written in 1929, published in the Daily Running Horse. I picked it up out of the Blood Horse of May the 16th, 1931. Which is more recent.
Yesterday.
It's called Reunion. Trooping again to the downs today, to the city at the falls, and the north comes, and the east comes, and the west when the derby calls, with the old south, and the new south, and the fair south meeting, the glad hand, and the true smile, and the wide arm greeting, a gay throng, and a glad throng, from many lands they hail, but the downs has made them one today, at the end of the derby trail. And the rich are there, and the much too poor, all the wide earth breeding, and the derby field parading by, with a proud horse leading, and the many-colored jackets filling the warm south breeze, the green and the wine-dark purple, and the lavender sash and cerise. But the track is wide, and side by side with that proud crew striding is a ghostly throng that floats along, with a little red horse guiding. Trooping again to the downs today, out of old history's stalls, trooping out of the living past, they hear when the derby calls. What is it you say? You don't see them? Is it just my dreaming? Those restive steeds with the bright flanks and the great eyes gleaming. Trooping back to the downs today, the phantom field is there. Back to the downs their ghosts have come to greet the one to wear the derby wreath when the day is done and give him fellow greeting. For none wear that but the strong of limb, them with a stout heart beating. All righty.
That makes me cry.
Was it that bad? Okay, where can we, Resi, come up and tell us where we can get this thing.
You go on the website, WLXG.com, and you listen to it live, or you can go on there and click to get the iPhone app right at WLXG.com.
All right, thank you. And I want to thank Mary Jane. Great job, Mary Jane, down there. And, of course, Resi here at the training center. And we'll talk to you all next week.